You know what sounds beautiful? Minnesota. You know what else is beautiful? Knowing that the lottery has generated billions of dollars for our state. Money that has gone to help protect wildlife and habitat and improve our air and water quality. At the Minnesota Lottery, we're playing our part. You can too. Just say, I'm in.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories. I'm Laura Sherry, your host for today. And before I introduce our next guest, I want to give a thank you to our sponsors, our newest sponsors, Minnesota Lottery and Nabisco. Also, this podcast is brought to you by Kinetico, Minnesota DNR, Minnesota Propane, Realtor Heather Womack, and Star Bank. All right, this is an exciting episode. We are talking about fungi today, ladies and gentlemen. I have the gentleman forager on the line, Mike Kempinek, and he is the owner-founder of Forest to Fork, which is located at Kagan Case Market in St. Paul. But most importantly, he is a fungi fanatic. Mike, welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you, Laura.
Yes. Well, we are on two opposite sides of the globe right now, almost. I'm hanging out overlooking the ocean in Lanai, Hawaii. And where are you?
I am in Tampa right now, overlooking Tampa Bay. So I as happy as I am to be here, I traded for Hawaii, but I'm still pretty happy to be here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this time of year, anytime we can escape to a little bit of sun and warm weather is always a gift. So enjoy your time there. And thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. And you and I will be meeting up shortly back in Minnesota. And we are going to go foraging for mushrooms. And this is really a, you know, there's a lot of fanatics when it comes to morel mushrooms, but I kind of want to give our guests, excuse me, our listeners, an overview of, A, there's probably a lot more mushroom varietals out there that you can forage for, and B, how do you get started foraging for mushrooms? Because there's also, you know, an element where you need to be careful of what you're picking and eating, of course. And, you know, what, you know, if you're to give people kind of a basic overview of, you know, getting started mushroom foraging, what, you know, would you say are the, you know, over the biggest tips out there?
Sure. Well, I, you know, morels are a great place to start. It's kind of the gateway mushroom. Usually folks get hooked on that because they've heard about it the most, and especially in Minnesota, where it's our, if people don't know, that's actually our state mushroom. And it's a pretty easy mushroom to kind of test yourself on, because generally you're really not looking so much for the mushroom as you are for a particular tree, and a little more so a dying tree. In Minnesota, that's mostly elms that these mushrooms will relate to, although on occasion you might find them around cottonwoods or big tooth aspen. If you're in northern Minnesota, it's a bit different. It's a different species. It's a black morel up there, and you would find those actually in aspen, young aspen. But if you're around the cities or St. Cloud South, you really are looking more for dead and dying elm trees than you are for an actual mushroom. Once you find the dead or dying elm, you can just go take a peek around, maybe 20 yards around that tree. And if you don't find any, well, you're off to your next tree. So it's really a pretty easy one to get started on. And of course, for us, a gentleman forager, you know, that was one of the things that we got in early on, was so many people would maybe love to hunt more than morels, or didn't really even know that there were other mushrooms in Minnesota they could hunt beyond morels. So, you know, we offer classes throughout the year, one in the spring, one in the summer, one for fall. And we cover 12 different species of mushrooms that you can have fun out in the woods foraging and finding all year long, really, until the second hard freeze or so, which usually is at the end of October.
Really? So there's 12 different types of mushrooms that you can forage in Minnesota? I never would have thought it would be that many. I thought maybe like three.
Actually, there's for myself and some of the clients I work with at some of the great restaurants we have in town, I forage more than 30 varieties of mushrooms in Minnesota. But generally, the more popular, at least a dozen. I could probably add a few more to that. But yeah, I mean, I think people are very surprised to learn that there's that many. And I think people are generally surprised to learn that springtime, when we find morels, is not really prime time for mushroom hunting. Prime time is fall. So really from about the end of August through that hard freeze I mentioned is really when it gets fun. And kind of anytime you're out in the woods where there's been good rainfall, you're going to find a plethora of mushrooms.
Isn't that interesting? So my question for you, you know, morel is considered, I don't know, the gold standard of mushrooms. And if you have a place where you find morels, you don't share it with anybody because, you know, it's the best kept secret, right? What would you say is the most flavorful mushroom besides the morel that, you know, if you want to start foraging, you're going to enjoy it the most, I guess, flavor profile wise?
That's always a tough one. I feel, you know, you can imagine I get asked a lot, what's your favorite mushroom? And it's a bit like asking who your favorite child is if you have multiple children. You love them all at different times. But having said that, you know, porcini or King Bolide is a very delicious mushroom that's sought after the world around. And we do have them in Minnesota. We have a very similar species. It's not genetically exactly the same, but the flavor and texture is really the same. Black trumpets is another really delicious mushroom. It has a very fruity aroma and a fruity flavor and goes great with pastas. They're a challenging one to find. Chanterelles are another one that's, you know, hunted the world around and really coveted. And people would be surprised to learn that mushroom actually smells and has a flavor of apricot, which I think is also super interesting for people as they start to dig more and more into the world of fungi. They realize that, you know, it's kind of like the vegetable world. A potato doesn't taste like a carrot, doesn't taste like broccoli. They're all different. And people are usually a little shocked to learn that all mushrooms are not like a white button mushroom. They're not all rubbery and they don't all have the same flavor. They're all quite unique.
Absolutely. Is there, when it comes to mushroom foraging, are you allowed to forage for mushrooms in, you know, the majority of state parks and things like that? Do you need a permit to forage for mushrooms? Is it best to go to find private land?
Yeah, Minnesota, thankfully, we have lots of public lands, and it is generally open to foraging for personal consumption without any permit or licensing. Certainly, you can do that in all of the state forests and all of the state parks. Most of the county parks allow it as well. However, there are certainly some county parks, the Three Rivers Park District comes to mind, Dakota County, who do not allow for foraging. So you definitely want to check if you're going someplace other than a state forest, a national forest, or a state park. But generally speaking, I find about 80% of public lands allow for public consumption.
Very cool. And is there a rule of thumb when it comes to foraging and how many mushrooms you should be taking?
That is a great question. I get that a lot. And, you know, people should know that mushrooms, if you really think of a mushroom like an apple to an apple tree, if you pick all the apples from the apple tree one year, it does not mean you're going to get less apples the next year. It doesn't affect it at all. And the same is true of mushrooms. Mushrooms are the fruiting body of the larger organism, which is growing either underground or in wood, depending upon the type of mushroom. And picking that fruit has zero impact on its ability to propagate in following and subsequent years. So yeah, you can feel free to, if you're a lover and you want to stock up for winter and maybe dry some of them for later use or can them, you know, however you might want to go out and have a bumper day. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You can just be happy that you found the honey hole.
That's awesome. The question is, are you going to share the location with your friends or not, right?
that's the bigger question, exactly.
All right. Well, I have some questions coming up here about how to identify mushrooms, which I'm guessing is a really important role in foraging. But before we get to that, I want to thank our newest sponsor, Nabisco.
Today is a day for adventure. Cub has all the Nabisco snacks you need to make sure adventure is delicious from start to finish. Life just tastes sweeter when you share Oreo cookies on the trail, when you crunch Ritz crackers at the campsite, or rock the boat with Ritz cheese crispers. Stop a Cub on the way to your adventure. The great outdoors is calling. Don't forget your snacks.
And I'd also like to thank our other sponsor, Kinetico. I've been drinking Kinetico water for, oh my goodness, it has to be well over 10 years now. And the reason I can't live without it is, number one, it's a clean source of water. Kinetico water, their drinking system, which I have, takes out all the contaminants, impurities, which leaves you with great tasting water. I'm also a health fanatic, and I actually try to consume almost a gallon of water a day. And do I reach that goal every day? The answer is certainly not. But does Kinetico water make it easier to reach that goal because the water tastes so good? It certainly does. So visit kinetico.com to find a dealer near you. All right, Mike, back to foraging. You know, obviously identifying mushrooms and really being certain of what you are going to consume is very important in this process. And, you know, is it as easy as just grabbing a book and going out foraging? Or do you really recommend, you know, obviously taking your class so you're really sure of what you're going to be eating?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we have lots of information available to us online these days, and you can study quite a bit. But I think most people would tell you that taking a class and being able to talk with somebody who has a lot of experience really brings out a lot of nuance. And there are definitely mushrooms that can make you quite sick. There are a few mushrooms that can potentially kill you. And so, you know, it's a pretty small price of time and effort to put into to maybe take a class, or even better yet, you know, we do events periodically through the summer, through the foraging season, that allows groups of up to about 50 people or so to spend some time like in the field. So you're actually handling them and talking about them and pointing out the differences. We try and concentrate on the 12 that I mentioned because they're all reasonably safe. They all have relatively few lookalikes that could create, you know, potential serious issues. So it kind of depends on where you're at in your learning curve. After you go through those 12, they become a little more difficult and much more nuanced. And it requires much more study and, you know, much more thought before you're throwing something into a frying pan and eating it. You know, many of those mushrooms, when we call them or refer to them as toxic, generally that means you might be running to the bathroom a lot, or you might have a very upset stomach for a while, but it wouldn't result in death. But as I mentioned, there are a few out there that can really do some serious harm to you.
Yeah, definitely safe than sorry when it comes to eating mushrooms. But on the flip side of that, you know, I think a lot of people probably don't know the amount of health benefits there are with eating mushrooms. And some mushrooms like the chaga mushroom, which can be found in Minnesota, is that correct?
That is correct. Chaga can be found on approximately 1 in 10,000 birch trees. That's their host.
Oh, wow. Well, you might be searching for a while, but chaga has a lot of health benefits. Are there other mushrooms, local mushrooms, that have, you know, a ton of really good health benefits?
Yeah, actually, mushrooms in general all have a lot of micronutrients that are very difficult to get through a standard diet. So basically, any wild mushroom you're eating is promoting a very healthy diet. But certain mushrooms are known for particular benefits. You know, things like turkey tail is used in breast cancer patients to mitigate the effects of chemotherapy that they may be going through. Other mushrooms promote things like blood pressure, lower blood pressure. Something like chaga that you mentioned is known to be what they call an adaptogen, and it has a way of sort of regulating a lot of different body functions in a very positive way. It's actually used in hospitals in some parts of the world. Russia, I know for certain, I believe China as well utilizes it, like within a hospital setting. So it's pretty well studied. They're not sort of hocus pocus claims that you read so much of online. They're quite well studied. So introducing mushrooms into your diet is a simple thing to do to really have an impact. I mean, something like eating as little as a couple of shiitake mushrooms a day, which is a very small amount, has shown to have measurable health impact on people. So I would strongly encourage, and as I mentioned, a lot of people, you know, I find that there's two groups of people. They either love mushrooms or they hate mushrooms. But usually the people that hate mushrooms just haven't met their mushroom yet. So I would really encourage people to kind of step out of their comfort zone. And if you have the opportunity to try something you've never heard of or never sampled before, providing it's coming from somebody you trust or a restaurant, I really would strongly encourage them to try it, because I think they're going to be surprised that, wow, this does not taste like any other mushroom I've ever had before. And it isn't rubbery. It's crunchy, or it's, you know, it's just different. And that makes it a lot easier to think about how can I incorporate this into my regular diet instead of just a treat now and again.
That's true. I am a big fan of mushrooms. I eat, you know, shiitake mushrooms all the time, but I also purchase mushroom powders like the chaga, the turkey tail. And is it reishi? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, reishi is another very prized medicinal mushroom, you bet.
Yeah, and they're all, you know, obviously great for your health. And I think mushrooms are kind of an underrated superstar when it comes to, you know, our health foods. And to be able to go get them yourself, you know, by foraging, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I hope it really appeals to people the way it appealed to me, which is, if you know me, you know that I'm not like a health nut. I'm sort of Joe average. But when I realized, you know, what an impact mushrooms can have in your diet, it was such a simple thing to do, you know, years ago to make that part of my regular diet and not feel like I was, you know, on some sort of odd, tasteless routine that was benefiting me. No, it was just incorporated into the foods I already like to eat.
So cool. I have a couple more questions coming up in regards to mushrooms and our ecosystem. But before we continue our mushroom conversation, I want to thank another one of our sponsors, Minnesota Propane. And based on the data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for a home that heats their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. That's a lot of mushrooms you can buy with that. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. So let's save energy and money with cleaner, greener fuel, propane. The right energy right now. Also, thank you to Realtor Heather Womack.
Hi, Minnesota Bound podcast listeners. I'm Realtor Heather Womack. I grew up in Minnesota and love all the outdoor activities we have here. In fact, I love Minnesota so much that I moved back here from Europe to raise my family in the land of beautiful hikes, refreshing clear lakes, and winter fun. That's why I'm reaching out to the listeners of the Minnesota Bound podcast. As a realtor, I've helped hundreds of folks buy their first home, sell the home they have, purchase a lake cabin, or start investing in Minnesota real estate. If you love adventure but need some new scenery, call me. My website is heatherwomackrealty.com. That's Heather Womack, W-O-M-A-C-K, realty.com.
Minnesota's wildlife management areas are a vast array of lands across all of Minnesota. These 1,400 WMAS are valued for wildlife and Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. In fact, it's not 1,400, it's 1,440. That's impressive. Minnesota DNR helps maintain hunter walking trails. They plant food plots for wildlife and develop acres and acres of prairie and grasslands. To find out more about Minnesota wildlife management areas, go to www.mndnr.gov/WMAS. All right, Mike, back to our shroom conversation. I was reading that mushrooms play a really important role in our ecosystem. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, the really dramatic way to state that is, you know, life on Earth would not exist without fungi. It really spans the entire globe from pole to pole. Literally, fungi exists in Antarctica, for instance. There are actually mushrooms that live underwater, that grow underwater. Yeah, plants have what's a symbiotic relationship with mushrooms. It's called a mycorrhizal relationship. And really about 90% of plants on Earth share that relationship with fungi. The fungi is able to sort of weave into the network of root system and develop a larger system, which brings more nutrients to the tree. It's able to metabolize certain things that a tree doesn't do well to metabolize, like phosphate, and deliver that to the tree, which helps it grow. And the tree, in turn, has lots of sugars that it can provide to the mushroom. So there's this neat synergistic sort of thing going on between those two. And yeah, I mean, without it, they're really the grand sort of garbage disposal of Earth, right? So if you think of every living plant matter that would fall to the ground, might be a leaf or a whole tree or anything else that has lignin and cellulose in it, it would never go away. It would just continue to pile high. Mushrooms are what breaks that down and returns it to its carbon life form, just a basic carbon life form, and produce, you know, new soil, and the you know, the circle of life continues. So yeah, I mean, without mushrooms, we wouldn't be talking right now.
Isn't that amazing? I'm always in awe of nature, and like the thing that you might look at that you would, you know, probably pass up on or walk right by and not even think how important its role is in nature. You know, same with the dragonfly, for instance. But to think that a mushroom plays such a big role in our ecosystem is really amazing, that we should be really thankful that we, you know, obviously have as many fungi, as I was calling it, fungi earlier. Yeah. Is that like tomato, tomato, Mike, or am I really just saying it wrong?
Tomato, tomato. If I'm telling the joke about fungi, then I'm going to say fungi. Otherwise, I might say fungi. But honestly, most times, I just say mushroom.
Okay. <good. laughs> And speaking of mushrooms, one of my favorite things to eat, and I know we can't find the exact version of that in Minnesota, but are truffles. And I was reading that truffles do exist in Minnesota, but it's not quite the same. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, truffles are, there are many different species of truffles. For the many of them are not palatable, not edible. And we have, some of those in the state of Minnesota. Truffles in the Pacific Northwest, specifically in Washington and Oregon, are really very good. I mean, they don't have the reputation that Italian truffles might have, Alba truffles or something like that. But honestly, I think that's kind of a snooty thing. James Beard, who's most known for the James Beard Award given out to the best chefs around our country from year to year, really said that he found black truffles from Oregon to be just as good as their counterparts in Europe. So we do have that availability, and they are much less expensive, which is great. But truffles here in Minnesota, it's intriguing to me. We're not thought to have them. But on the other hand, who has ever brought a truffle dog or a truffle pig to find out if we really do have them? I grew up being told and reading that we don't have matsutake mushrooms here, which is a very prized mushroom. To my surprise, I think it's been about 6 years ago now, I found matsutake mushrooms growing in Minnesota. And we do, in fact, have matsutake. We have a lot of matsutake. So I don't think it's completely out of the question to say that there may in fact be truffles here. We just don't know they're here.
Interesting. And I was also reading that the flavor profile of mushrooms, that there's some North Shore varieties of mushrooms that you don't get in the southern part of the state. Is that correct, or there's something about how they grow on the North Shore?
No, not really. I mean, there are definitely areas of the state that are better than other areas for certain species of mushrooms. But as a general rule, I can find really anything up north that I can find down south. I love being up north probably more just because we have more land up north, more public land. And a lot of my relationships to forage commercially is on private land. And big tracts are up north versus down south is, a little more farming, less trees, a little more difficult. But, I have certainly found virtually every mushroom that I find up north, I have found south of the cities as well.
Very cool. Well, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to give us a good overview on how to get started foraging for mushrooms. I am so looking forward to you and I heading out into the woods together to forage. Yes, and I actually I'm planning on making a mushroom recipe of some sort that I'm going to feature on Wild in the Kitchen in Minnesota Bound. It's going to be a complete vegetarian dish, all with mushrooms that we forage. So hopefully we'll have a good day out there. And if not, I'll have to go to Keg and Case Forest to Fork Market to buy some.
Well, you know what else you could do, Laura? You could think about maybe being a guest chef at our new Gentleman Forager Eats mobile kitchen, which is going to be at the Hook and Ladder Theater Company from May until October this year. So people can come and enjoy some wild foods, and we're going to have guest chefs popping in from week to week and creating some really fabulous food using, many of our wild products, which of course include mushrooms.
That is so cool. And tell the audience as well, like where they can find you for more information or your website and things like that.
Sure. If you check out gentlemanforager.com, you can find out about who we are and what we do and all of our events you can sign up for, all of our classes. First one actually is coming up real quick here mid-April. But lots of information to come have fun with us, whether that's on the food side or the music side or the foraging side or the class side. So that should give you plenty of info to get started.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike, so much. And I look forward to meeting back up with you in Minnesota for some fungi fun. I'll say that.
We're going to make it happen.
All right. Also, Special thanks to Minnesota Lottery and Nabisco. And thank you to Connecticut, Minnesota DNR, Minnesota Propane, Realtor Heather Womack, and Star Bank. And last but not least, don't forget to introduce a kid to the great outdoors.
Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.